May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 485. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hymn 485.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 27, commencing to read at verse 50 and then into chapter 28. The Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 27, from the 50th verse. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away whilst we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Almighty and Holy Lord God. We thank thee for the word of truth we have read. Now who art the sovereign Lord of heaven and of earth, we plead that it may be thy will to make thy word a blessing unto us. Help us now to approach thy holy majesty and to worship thee, to worship thee, the King of grace, with heart and soul and voice. O grant that mercy's tender voice may bid us to rejoice. And on this resurrection morn, the day when we remember thy triumph over death, we pray that we may know thy resurrection power here in our worship this morning. And worship thee in the beauty of holiness. We come, Lord, to give the honour and the glory that is due to thy holy name. We come to acknowledge thy power and thy greatness and thy authority over us. Grant to us that spirit of reverent, respectful worship. And help us, Lord, to draw near unto thee. And do thou draw near unto us. And speak to our souls the words of everlasting life and love. And may we have an interest in thy resurrection. May we be able to say that Christ the Lord rose again for us. That he was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. May we by faith be drawn to that garden tomb to come and to see the place where the Lord lay, but lays no more. And may we rejoice in that empty tomb. And may we rejoice that there is a throne in heaven filled where the Saviour now sits, crowned with glory and honour. The royal diadem that affords the mighty victor's brow. We rejoice, Lord, that the highest place that heaven affords is occupied by right by thee, Lord Jesus. Do fill our hearts this day with the glory of then of the risen Lord, of Emmanuel, God with us. Prepare us, Lord, for that place of eternal worship, which will have no end, around the throne of God in heaven. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst come down this day and grant thy help. Grant liberty in speaking and liberty in hearing and liberty in walking out thy word. May thy word abide in our hearts. May it bring forth fruit to thy praise and glory and honour. Pardon and forgive our many sins. Lord, Thou alone knowest the full extent of our crimes against thee. Of our pollution, of our guilt, of our depravity, of just what great sinners we really are. But we pray, Lord, that we may know a bearable glimpse of it. May we be brokenhearted over our sins. And brokenhearted for grieving thee, a just, a kind, a holy God. And may we prove what the hymn writer said, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sins he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. By his sufferings, death and merit, by his Godhead blood and pain, broken hearts and wounded spirits are at once made whole again. Lord, may each of us know what it is to be brokenhearted, and may we know what it is to be healed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And may we rejoice with thankfulness over what thou hast done. May we marvel at those mercies without number that thou descend to us day by day. And for thy people, those blessings which will never end. May we have a part, Lord, in the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that thy sheep alone know. The blessing of forgiveness of sin, the blessing of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, the blessing of walking with God, communing with him and knowing him through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Leave us not, Lord, to be strangers, we pray. We pray thy blessing upon this church and people. We ask thee, Lord, to watch over them and supply their various needs. We ask thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word here. And ask, Lord, that thou wouldst equip thy servants whom thou dost send into this pulpit with the Holy Ghost. May the gospel's trumpet be blown with a sure, certain, powerful sound. And may thy word here be crowned with success in the hearts of each that gather. Pray, Lord, thou wouldst remember those who walk in bereavement, in sorrow, in dark pathways, in trouble, in tribulation, in distress, in disappointment, in pain and suffering and weariness. Lord, do draw near unto them. Sanctify the pathway to them. May they learn more of thee in it. May they be drawn closer to thee in it. and may they be delivered by thee from it in thy time. And may they be enabled to rest in the arms of Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray for those who anticipate shortly being joined together in holy matrimony here. And we ask thy richest blessing upon them. And we pray likewise, Lord, that their joys may be sanctified to them. For, Lord, we need thee to sanctify joys and successes in life as well as sorrows. And, Lord, may they learn of thee in their joys. We pray that Jesus himself may draw near and go with them, that Christ may be the head of their marriage, and that they might know thy help, thy presence, thy guidance, thy blessing. And may they be favoured to live all their married life through under the shadow of the Almighty. But grant, Lord, thy richest blessing on that occasion, and thy blessing in their life to come. We pray, Lord, for those who need thee in any particular and special way, those who need thee to direct them in the pathway that they should go, those that need doors opening or doors closing. Do appear, we pray. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. And grant, Lord, that thou wouldst bear that burden for them and with them. And do remember the children and the young people, and guide them early in life to thee savingly. Make them a blessing in thy courts, and provide them for their every need all their lives through. Raise up a generation to follow on to worship thee here. Remember those who are in old age, in weakness, in weariness, for whom life has become a burden. Grant, Lord, that they may be prepared for their journey's end, and may it end with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst add to this people those whom it is thy sovereign intention to save. And fill this house of prayer yet with families like a flock, and with those who will come in crying, "What must I do to be saved? And God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst gather into this church those whom thou hast already saved, and that thou wouldst open their tongues to talk of a precious Christ. And we pray thy blessing to rest upon each member of this church and the deacons, and grant them thy wisdom and thy grace, and keep them together, united in thy fear. Bless them in their church meetings, and when they meet around thy table month for month, to remember thy dying love. And may they be knitted together and be one in heart, one in humility, one in love, bearing each other's burdens, looking to Christ, the glorious head of the church. Grant thy help in the Sabbath school this afternoon, and bless the labours there, and may it bring forth fruit in due season. Help us now as we turn to thy word of truth, and bless the gatherings of thy people this day, up and down our land and throughout the whole world. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 149. There is a friend who sticketh fast and keeps his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. An earthly brother drops his hold, is sometimes hot and sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. Hymn 149.
the Lord's help, we turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 51 and the 10th verse. Prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 51, verse 10. The Lord have brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. The Lord have brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Of course, the immediate context of this verse refers to the destruction of Babylon and to the Lord making that way for the children of Israel to return to their own land at the close of the Babylonish captivity. And what a wonderful work that was. But this morning I don't want to speak of that work. But I want to speak of a greater work. The work of the Lord our God in the righteousness and in the salvation of his people. And on this resurrection morning, what a glorious work. Was that when the Lord rose again from the dead? And in rising from the dead, he brought forth the righteousness of his people. Can you say he brought forth your righteousness? You and I need a righteousness if we are to get to heaven. We need an obedience which satisfies Almighty God in his infinite justice. We need a work that is so perfect. We need a obedience which is so consistent We need a life which so conforms to the will of God that when we come face to face after death with God reigning in glory on his throne, when we come face to face with those eyes which are as a flame of fire, we may be able to look upon them without flinching or fear. The Lord has brought forth our righteousness. And only the Lord can. Because God in his infinite holiness demands perfection, he will not compromise. And he cannot compromise. He cannot accommodate fallen man. But the wonder is that in eternity past. The Lord Jehovah decreed that a work would be performed, the work of the Lord our God. The Lord have brought forth our righteousness. Jesus came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, and he had a real humanity in every sense, except he did not have a sinful nature. Whereas with you and me, it is natural to us to sin. With him, it was natural to be holy. And yet that nature was tried and tempted and tested. But in all other respects, he was like us, human. And that's important. And the apostle lays that importance. He says that the Lord did not take on him the nature of angels. In other words, had it been the intention of Almighty God to save the fallen angels, Jesus would have had to have taken on the nature of an angel to save them. But he passed them by. And he takes on him the seed of Abraham. And with the exception of sin, he was in all points like unto you and me. And in that nature, he submitted himself to the holy commands of the law of God. This is what righteousness is. It's doing right. It's doing what God approves of, what God is pleased with. And day by day, month by month and year by year in that life that he lived, through the various scenes of life, through the joys of life, and through the sorrows of life, both in his private life in Nazareth and his public ministry in Galilee, whether he was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, or whether he was being hailed in triumph as he walked, as he rode into Jerusalem the week of his death. At all times, he honored Almighty God in his life. And no matter what Satan could do, in the various ways he tried to get the sacred Saviour of the world, the Lord our righteousness, he utterly failed to tempt Jesus into sin. He tried. He spent all of those 33 years that the Lord lived upon earth doing all he could to try and tempt the Lord Jesus to dishonor his Holy Father and to disobey him. but spotless, innocent, and pure, the great Redeemer stood. And the Lord suffered in those temptations. He could not bear sin. He could not tolerate sin. It was an affront to him. It was oppressive to him. It was a grief to him. And to be tempted himself to commit sin was to him a most grievous thing. And yet, child of God, he allowed the devil to draw near and tempt him for your sake. What does the hymn writer say? Zion's mourners, cease your fears, for the holy dying lamb utterly forbids despair to all that love his name. Him your fellow sufferer see. He was in all things like to you. Are you tempted? So was he. Deserted he was too. In your temptations, tempted soul, this morning, remember he was tried and tempted too. He knows what it means to endure fiery temptations. He knows what it means to be hard done by the devil and to be attacked and oppressed by him on every side. He knows what it means to be wearied by the devil and oppressed by the devil. He knows what you're going through. And your hope for heaven rests not in your ability to withstand the devil, but in Christ's ability. Your hope for heaven rests in the fact that Christ Jesus was victorious at all times over the devil. And so this righteousness of the Lord was a tried righteousness. More tried than anyone else in the whole history of the world. The Lord have brought forth our righteousness. Right to his last breath, even upon that cross, as he suffered, he was still working out the righteousness of his people. Why? Because God demands perfection in the hour and article of death, as he does in life. So you and I need a perfect death as well as a perfect life. And although he was made sin for us upon that cross, and although he bore the penalty of sin and endured the righteous, holy indignation of God against the sins of his church, even while he was drinking that cup, he himself didn't commit sin. He remained pure in himself, even in the hours of death and suffering. I read last evening a beautiful comment on the resurrection. Our sins, we are favored to be among that number whom the Lord loves. Our sins laid the Saviour in that grave. His righteousness rose him again from that grave. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ had not worked out a perfect righteousness, if he himself had sinned, he would still be in that tomb. And if he had not paid the price in full of those sins which were charged upon him at Calvary's cross, if just one sin had remained unsatisfied, the payment not completely made, that would have been enough to hold the Lord Jesus in that tomb forever. But child of God, the Lord is risen, and when he rose from the dead, he brought forth his righteousness for his people, complete, finished, the work of the Lord done. And the Lord has brought forth our righteousness for us to wear by faith. This is good news to that sinner. He's got no righteousness of his own. When you come to God by faith, feeling your pollution, feeling your guilt, feeling your sin, feeling your unworthiness, feeling your unrighteousness, and knowing you will never be any better, condemned. In sovereign mercy and kindness, the Lord God Almighty brings forth this righteousness of Jesus Christ that he wrought upon earth, and he puts that robe right around that coming sinner. Some of you have known him. Unless the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, says a hymn writer, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and cast it all around. The Lord brings forth that righteousness. And the mercy of it is, and the wonder of it is, when he brings it forth, it becomes our righteousness. In other words, when he puts it upon you to wear, in the eyes of God, it's as if you lived that righteous life. We speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, and rightly so, and how it speaks in heaven, and how it speaks of pardon, and how precious that is, how it speaks of deliverance. But you know, the righteousness of Jesus Christ also speaks in heaven. And it says, here is the obedience that is necessary. Father, thou didst commission me to come into this sin-cursed earth, to live that obedient life for this sinner. Put that robe around him. And the Father smiles and with joy puts that robe around that coming sinner. And that righteousness speaks. And Almighty God looks upon that sinner, and he doesn't see the dishonorable, disgraceful, unrighteous life of theirs, but he sees instead the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's satisfied. The Lord have brought forth our righteousness. And he brought it forth when he rose again from the dead that day. He was raised again for our justification, we read, that we might be justified before a holy God through his righteousness and through his sin-atoning death. And the sign that God had accepted the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in his sin-atoning death and was completely satisfied and well pleased with it. The proof of that is in the empty grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise. The soldiers, the seal of Pilate, that heavy stone, the malice of the high priests and Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, were utterly powerless before the almighty, powerful will of God. The work was complete. Death had no hold over the Saviour, because he had no sin of his own, and because he had successfully paid in full the debt of the sins that were charged to him. And so death has to give way. And had it been his will, he could have easily rose without that stone being rolled away. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away to come out from that grave. But God the Father decreed that his Son should have a dignity in rising, and he sent that angel to roll away that stone. So there could be no dispute whatsoever that Jesus had risen from the dead. Had that stone not been rolled away, the unbelieving Jews would never have believed he'd risen from the dead. the mighty conqueror arises. Glorious from the dead. No longer is he the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. No longer is he to be tempted by the devil. No longer is he to endure the ill manners and despising of the wicked. Now he comes forth to return to heaven, his home, to reign in glory, and to receive the honour and the dignity and the power and the majesty and the worship that is due to his holy name. But the Lord took that righteousness with him into heaven. And both the precious blood and the obedience of Christ speak in heaven's courts. And child of God, when you come down to die, you will have no need to fear. Because when you come to stand before the throne of God, that place of judgment, where you will receive that final judgment, in that moment the Lord Jesus Christ will bring forth his righteousness. And he will declare before the whole company of heaven and before his Father's throne that righteousness is yours. Bold will you stand in that great day. And you will be dressed literally in that robe of righteousness, which will be ever new, it will never wear out. That garment in which you are fit for the immediate presence of infinite holiness and justice, and to stand in that presence and not be consumed, to stand in that presence and rejoice, to stand in that presence and rest and be at peace, all because of the righteousness of the Lord your God, now become your righteousness by imputation, by a precious gift. The Lord has worked out this righteousness, and then he's given it to his church, to his people, as a token of his love for them. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, let us declare thee in Zion the work of the Lord our God. And then, child of God, when as you journey onwards in life to that heavenly city, you come under that condemnation through fresh guilt. The wonder of it is that at all times while you're journeying homeward, the Lord is bringing forth your righteousness before his Father's throne. He is at all times interceding for you. He is at all times praying for you. And he is at all times pointing to his righteousness when you sin. And he's saying, Father, I lived for this one. Father, I died for this one. I paid the unrighteousness that he's now committing. Forgive them. But ask God to give you this token, that by the Holy Spirit he may bring it forth in your conscience while you're here below, that you are righteous with God. Ask him to declare to you in your soul. That Jesus lived for you. That Jesus obeyed for you. That Jesus was tempted for you. That Jesus suffered and bled and died for you. Ask him to apply this righteousness to your heart with power. That you might be able to look upon the Ten Commandments and see not a broken law, but a law that has been kept in every clause in a perfect way. Lord, our righteousness is one of the precious names of Jesus Christ. It is mentioned twice. This is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is one of his glorious names, and it's one of his names that you can plead, that you have no righteousness of your own, but he has a complete righteousness and a suitable righteousness. And you can plead this morning before God that righteousness may be given to you. Then if you go a few chapters on, you read this. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And that is speaking of the church of Christ. Both the complete church, the whole number, that innumerable company of elect, that vast number known to God alone, that complete church, also each individual member. To each individual member individually, that name is given, the Lord our righteousness. And here you see the beauty of being a part of the bride of Christ. See, when it's like when that one who is to be married comes to the ceremony to be joined together in holy matrimony with her husband. Before that ceremony begins, as she comes with the name that she was born with and has lived with up until that moment in time. But then as those vows are taken and they are pronounced husband and wife in the holy name of the Trinity, she leaves behind her old name that she was born with. She takes on the name of her husband and she goes forth into life now to be known by the name of her husband as a symbol that he acknowledges her and delights to own the fact that he's joined together in matrimony with her and her with him. They're united together. As a symbol that he cares for her, that he loves her, that her concerns are now his concerns, that he undertakes to provide for her needs. And in the various stages of life, no matter what might come in that married life, The only name she knows in that married life is the surname of her husband. And even death will not rub that out. After death, she doesn't revert if she survives her husband to her old name that she was born with, does she? No, she keeps that name. And so it is. When a coming sinner, by faith for the first time, comes to the throne of God's mercy, polluted by sin, they come in the name that they were born with, and that name is sinner. And we're all born with that name, whether we know it or not. And if you die with that name, you'll die lost and perish eternally. But as you come to God by faith that first time, so God, the Lord Jehovah, gives to you this name, the Lord our righteousness. And by faith you are joined to the Saviour. He is your Saviour. He is your Lord. He is your King. He is your sacrifice. He is your righteousness. He is your elder brother. He is your friend. And from that moment, he undertakes to supply all your need. From that moment, he decrees he will relieve all your care. From that moment, you are his. Now, of course, you were his eternally in eternity past. But in your own soul's experience, that's when you begin to enjoy it. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self resigned, while he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. Cannot some of you this morning rejoice by faith that you are his? Has he not said to you, thou art mine? If he said that to you, then you have a right this morning to rejoice in the righteousness of Christ as your righteousness. It belongs to you. It was worked out for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He suffered for you, and he now reigns for you. In the day of judgment, he will bring forth his righteousness. And he will delight to own you in that day as one of his sheep, saved by grace, redeemed by love, made perfect through his comeliness. May we be found among them. May we have that right to join with that hymn writer. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay? Through Jesus' blood absolved I am from sin's tremendous curse and shame. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. And if the Lord has favored you with his righteousness, do not be too afraid to declare it in Zion. to the glory of his name. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for the Christian Institute amounted to £1,655, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Buss will preach for us again in the evening. And the wedding of our friends Marianne and Joseph will take place, God willing, on Friday at 12 noon. Let us close with hymn 689. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. Hymn 689.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.